If you would stand, we're going to read God's word, right? All right. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. Luke 8, 16 through 21. Verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. And his mother and his brothers, this is Jesus' mother and brothers, came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." This is the word of the Lord. Father, we do just come to you this morning. We come to be in your presence. We come to be just worshiping you, just coming together as a group of believers to sit under you, to learn what you have for us. Father, we know that we can't change ourselves. We know that time can't even change us, but only you can change us. Only you can. Father, I pray you open our eyes. I pray that, Lord God, that we can see you this morning, that you speak to each one of us individually. Father, I just pray that you have something special for each person here this morning, and I pray that, Lord God, that they would be faithful to receive it. Father, we just thank you. We glorify you this morning, and we glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, so leave y'all standing. Ladies, you may be seated. Gentlemen, you may be seated. All right, I have a scenario for you. We're going to see if this backfires. I'm going to give you two options. Okay, ready? Option number one. I'm going to give you $25 million, okay? $25 million, but here's the catch. You can't tell anyone, and you can only spend it on yourself. Not a bad deal, right? Really, not a bad deal. Option two, and this might backfire, we're gonna see. Option two, instead of $25 million, I'm going to give you $20 million. But with the $20 million, you can tell anyone you want. And more importantly, you can share it with people. You can share it with your family. You can share it with loved ones. You can buy your loved ones the things that they really need. Or maybe you can just go crazy and just bless the socks off of them. So those are your two choices. Which one are you going to choose? The second one. So you would give up $5 million. Does anybody here even have $5 million? But you're willing to give up $5 million to be able to share that gift, right? Why? Why would you do that? Because when you have something so good, when you possess something so amazing, you want to share it. It's human nature to want to share it. It is a good thing to do. It's a fun thing to do. And when you are the recipient of good news, you know, if you are the family member and now you're hearing this and you're getting blessed by this person who's been given the money, this is something amazing too. Because this gives you worth. This gives you value. This is a really good thing, right? That's what our parable today addresses. And the thing is that many of us are familiar with this parable. It's the parable of the lamp on the lampstand, right? And it's widely used. There's countless songs about it. We sang this morning, "This Little Light of Mine," right? And there's countless sermons about it. We even, as our vision last year, used that illustration of a lamp and a light, and Jesus is the light of the world. It's a commonly used theme. But, you know, as Western Christians, the danger is that we get so much of it that it becomes diluted to us, right? And the great thing, though, about Jesus and about his parables is that they're like a diamond, okay? And they have multiple sides. And all you have to do is just turn it, and then you find a new way to see through, and you see a new perspective. And so when you're reading a parable, one of the easiest ways to do this and to gain a new perspective is to place yourself into the shoes of someone else in the story. As you're always reading a parable saying, you know, who am I in this story? Where am I? And that's good to identify. That's really good. You need to do that. But it's also good at points to stop and say, well, what about this perspective over here? Well, that, if we're paying attention to this story and how Luke gives it, is what Luke does for us. Because he gives just a slightly new perspective on this story. Because this parable is all about interaction. And when we look past the surface, we find that it's all about this interaction that's between Jesus, who is the light in this parable. It's the interaction with him and the believer, who is the person in the house choosing to place the light on the lampstand. It's the interaction between the church body, which is represented by the house. And then it's also this interaction with the unbeliever, who is shown to us by the person in the darkness outside the house. And so what Luke does is he places this importance on what it is that brings the unbeliever on the outside to the inside, okay? Into the house so that they see the light. And Luke's doing this because Luke, if you remember, is a Gentile, right? He was an unbeliever. He's not a Jewish man. And so being a heathen Gentile standing in the darkness, Luke understands a different side of this parable. And so Luke identifies with that in the same way that many of us should be able to. Because Luke, being a Greek, he's not your typical convert to this new religion, this Christianity, because it's mainly a Jewish-based religion. And he's outside of Jewish culture. Like, he's got this formal education, he's indulged in the arts, and in very many ways, he's just like we are in America today. He has everything that he wants, but yet he's still missing something that he needed. So he is the one who is walking in darkness. And as we're going to see, Luke gives us this classic parable, and then he just puts a slight slant on it. And through that, I hope that we're able to get a better insight into the absolute importance of God's call on every believer to deliver the good news, to deliver that gift, to present somebody with something so amazing that they're just going to be blown away. So let's start in verse 16. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. So Jesus is addressing a large crowd again. And this parable follows right behind the sower parable, and it's meant to be the practical application of that parable. It's about grabbing hold of us, grabbing hold of Christians, grabbing hold of people who claim to be disciples, and saying, this is how you live the Christian life out, and this is how you live it out alongside a world that's full of people who don't believe the same thing that you believe, right? It's about recognizing that ultimately, the gospel is not legitimately the gospel until it's spoken. The good news can't be received until it's spoken. That's how good news gets transmitted. It needs to be proclaimed. That's what Jesus is doing. That's why he's grabbing his disciples and they're heading off so that they can preach and proclaim the very gospel that he brings, the good news of him coming to save the world, to rid them of sin, to give them a freedom that they've never experienced before. So, like many of Jesus' parables, he frames the story with a very familiar and relatable group of things because he wants the people to engage. He doesn't want to leave them wondering, okay, I don't even relate to that, okay? So he's going to come in and he takes this very simple, very basic, very common first century object, a lamp. You know, this little clay vessel with some oil in it and a wick, and you would light it, and then that would be your light when it became dark outside. And so at the very start of the story, Jesus takes the lamp and he suggests these three options almost how the lamp could be used. But only one of them really makes sense. So the person in the house can take the lamp and they could cover it up. Like they could totally cover it. Or they could take the lamp and they could go hide it somewhere, right? Or they could take the lamp and they could place it on the lampstand where it's going to function, right? So immediately, as a listener of this story, you're thinking, why would anyone want to cover it up? Like, why would anyone want to hide it? Like, didn't they, he said they just lit it. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And so before you know it, you're getting drawn into the story, right? And you have a choice to make. Am I going to think about this more? Am I going to see where he's going with this? Because this just seems very common. It seems very basic, but yet there's something in here that's odd. So he's drawing you in. I mean, is he really talking about interior lighting design? Or is there something more going on here? So let's just look at those options that Jesus gives. Covering a lamp up. That means taking something, placing it over top, essentially smothering it. No oxygen. The lamp goes out. It's completely useless. It's extinguished. Or you could hide it, right? So you could take it and you're going to stick it under your bed, which not the best idea with, you know, fire safety prevention. You don't want to do that, but the point is that you're hiding it so that the majority of that light is obscured. It's just very faint. It's right there. It's serving a little purpose, a little bit. It's just there. And Jesus says, if you lit a lamp, you would never do those two things. You would, like, never do that. It makes no sense. So what would you do? You would take it, and you would use it what it is for, and you would place it in the center of the room in a strategic place where it's going to illuminate as much of the room as possible. Okay? So, duh. This is basic stuff. This is like living in the first century 101, right? So why is he saying this? Because this is how Jesus teaches. Is he talking about lighting, or is he talking about something more? And then he says, so that those who come in may see the light. Okay, hold on. Wait a second. So I lit the lamp. I'm in my house. And according to Jesus, the light is not just for me. It's for those who may come in. So it's for those on the outside. So it's for those who are in the darkness. This is odd. Why am I doing that? Right? It's odd unless the purpose of that lamp is specifically for those outside. That the lamp is placed where it is for the intention of bringing them in, to welcome the outsider, to make available your home to them. So we're all going to open up our homes, and we're all going to bring in some strangers. Everyone's like, what? No. So Jesus is definitely saying something more than just giving them like a good basic lighting strategy, right? And this is where Luke takes this story to a different perspective, because Luke is all about those who are on the outside. He's all about their perspective and seeing this and through their eyes. And it's all about the light and those people in the home and the home itself serving the people who are in the darkness. And we look at this parable, and many times we look at it as we're sitting inside the house, which if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are doing that. But the fact is that you were once on the outside. That's Luke's position. He was once in the darkness, and so were we. And it's all about those people who are on the outside being able to see the light on the inside, and then coming toward it, and then coming into the house. So from that perspective, from their perspective, imagine that you are lost in a forest. You remember, when I was younger, my mom and I went for a walk in the Adirondacks, and it was one of those things where you're going and you come to a fork and yeah, we'll go this way. And then you come to another fork and okay, we'll go this way. And then another fork and we'll go. And before you know it, when you decide to turn back, how do we get back? And so lost, we did find our way back as everybody was watching football, not concerned with where we were. It wasn't dark. So it there was no need for concern. But imagine that you're lost in a dark forest. And after time, you're worrying. You're thinking about what's going to happen if you have to spend the night out there, or if maybe no one comes to get you. Think about that. And then think that you see a light in the distance. And that light is clearly a house that gives you hope, right? Imagine that same scenario, that you're lost, but that light, that house is still there. Same scenario, but that light has been covered up, has been shut right off, so you can't see it. So instead of seeing this home in the distance and having hope, or at least having the option of choosing to go that way, there's just darkness. There's nothing. And if you happen to walk up to that house, it's by complete pure luck that happens. So think about that. Or worse yet, think about that as you're walking, you see a home and there's this like faint light, right? And the people do the old close the curtains. Did they have curtains in the first century? I don't know. They did whatever they do in the first century to be rude, right? And you walk closer and you're like, geez, I don't know about coming in here. And then they got the good sign, the good welcoming sign that says trespassers will be shot. Survivors will be shot again. And so you're thinking, wow, I get the message. You're not welcome here. These are the perspectives that Luke wants us to see, because these are the perspectives of the people outside in the darkness. It's about how it impacts them what we do, how it impacts them. Okay? So now the parable is getting the listener thinking. Thinking about what Jesus is really speaking about. And, man, maybe it's about me. Maybe it's about me and God. Maybe it's about God and me and other people. Maybe it's about the hope that the gospel actually brings, or the importance of sharing it with the people around us. Maybe it's about the importance of being able, if I'm in the darkness, to find my way into the light and then to help other people do the same thing. Verse 17, for nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So the purpose of the light was to do what now? To bring other people in, right? And light, by its nature, does one thing. When it takes over, it expels darkness, and you could say it reveals truth. Okay? As John Newton, the great preacher, once said, truth, like a torch, may be seen by its own light without reference to the hand that holds it. You see, it's not about the hand holding the lamp, but it's about the light itself. The parable speaks nothing about the person, right, who's placing this lamp somewhere. It only suggests that they had choices to make, and that those choices determine how the person on the outside in the dark will view their situation, will look at their circumstances, pointing to Jesus, the light, right? It's all the believer must do for the lost who are outside. And Jesus, who is in fact truth embodied, will take care of it from there. Right? Jesus will reveal what needs to be revealed, and he will let no truth be hid that will keep someone from coming to a relationship with him. And the light that Jesus speaks of in this parable is himself, and every part of who he is declares or desires what's best for us. It's like if I walk into my boy's dark room at night, I guarantee you, I am going to be in extreme pain after a couple steps because I've just stepped on Legos. It's terrible. But if the light is on, if I flick that light on, I can see them and I can avoid them and I won't be in a mini Lego hell, right? The same goes for the person in the darkness. They're living a life of missing truths, okay? And it may appear to be a good life. It seems, you know, they may seem like things are going good and it seems like they're successful as the world defines it, right? But that doesn't mean that there's absolute truth there. It doesn't mean that they aren't lost, because many who are lost don't even realize it until they see the light. And that is just what the devil wants. He wants the light hidden. He wants the light covered up. Because with no light, there is no truth. And if the light is not seen, then I'll just keep on going on my course. If I can't see that house lit up, I'm just going to keep plugging away. And I don't know what's coming. But I guarantee you, sooner or later, it's not going to be good. So what I need is I need somebody who's willing to come in and willing to place the light in the center of the room. I need someone who's willing to come like John the Baptist and be a voice in that wilderness that I'm in. I need someone who's able to understand that if it was good enough to save them, it's good enough to save me. That's a reality that we have as believers. If it was good enough to save you, it's good enough to save them. So then if I choose to accept the truth of who Jesus is and what he brings, then God promises to reveal himself fully to me. Verse 18. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Jesus is emphasizing the importance of paying attention and hearing his words. Remember, he's speaking these words. He's talking in parables for those who want to hear, for those who want to dig a little bit deeper and really understand what he's talking about. Do we hear him? Do we hear him? Or are we just considering what he has to say? As he says, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. So to those who want to hear, Jesus is promising more. What? It's faith that he's promising. Because it's through the very act of hearing Jesus and hearing the gospel that faith is established in someone's life. As Paul said in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the very act of speaking the gospel, of placing the light for everyone to see, produces faith in someone's life. And it establishes this faith to the lost, who now see a light and they walk into this home. And the great, amazing thing about it is it's twofold, because as we speak the gospel, it inevitably deepens our own faith. It's one of the healthiest things that you can do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to be part of. So Jesus is saying that we believers, we are the people who are in the house. We are the ones with the lamp. And our focus, our goal should be setting a light out for the lost. We're not reaching out to the lost. We're failing if we're not reaching out to the lost. If we're not reaching out to the lost, then we're not fulfilling the commission. So what do? Where are we going to put it? Because that's what's important. As believers, we're in this partnership with Jesus. And faith itself thrives on the gospel going forward. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. So, as the person with the lamp, as the believer in the story, can I cover up the lamp? Sure. Can I hide the lamp? Absolutely, I could. I probably have. In fact, I have. Can we do an injustice to the person in the darkness? Yeah. And Satan loves it, because that's his favorite lie, to get you to believe that there is no God, that this isn't true. Because then there'll be no faith that takes root. There'll be no questioning. There'll be no digging deeper. It's perfect. It's perfect. And then every bit of worth or every bit of value that we have is now predicated on a lie and not a truth. The result of no light is like this perpetual being lost in the forest experience without knowing the dangers that lurk ahead. So the question is, how welcoming is the light? Like, how centered is it in the home? How inviting is it in the home? How clear is the invitation for those who are on the outside? Bless you. How are they going to see the light of Christ? How are they going to hear his words? You see, within this parable, Jesus, it's like every parable, it's intended to challenge everybody. It's intended to pull you, right, out of your comfort zone and think about your situation, think about who you are, and then just twist it up a little bit. So to the unbeliever, the challenge in this parable is, what do I do when I do see that light? What am I going to do when I do hear the gospel? Because now it's in my hands to make a choice. And he challenges the believer. And the challenge is just like we were talking about. What am I going to do to make sure that I'm being faithful to place that lamp where other people can see it, that I'm not hiding it, that I'm not covering it up, but that, in fact, it's available to those who may be interested in hearing more? And the challenge is also to the church. And when I say church, it's not the building. It's not a denomination. It is the world church of believers of Jesus Christ, the disciples that are all across this world. And the challenge is, what are we doing as a church to let that light shine, to allow others to feel like they can come in, to invite them in so that they can see our faith and understand what we believe and experience the very things that we experience? Jesus wants us to ask these questions, and he wants us to engage with a world that needs to hear it. And so to all the people, as Jesus is telling this parable, to all the people who are surrounding Jesus, they're all thinking now about their role in this story. Jesus, the parables of Jesus are meant to just pop circuit breakers in your head, is what they're meant to do. And if you're not being challenged, then you're not hearing the parable, because that's exactly what he wants to have happen. And if you're not uncomfortable when you're reading it, then read it again and turn it a little bit, and you will be. Because that's the point. They're meant to get us questioning us about ourselves and then looking, importantly, beyond ourselves to gain a new perspective, to see a new way to be part of this kingdom that he's bringing. So then we finish up with this really interesting story all of a sudden. Verse 19, I'll read 19 through 21. Then you get the whole story. And so he's done with the parable, right? And his mother and his brothers came to him. Did you know Jesus had brothers? Yep, he did. He did. His mother and his brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." So Jesus just finished this parable, and Luke tells us that Mary, his mother, is outside, and his brothers are outside. Where's Joseph? We don't know. Possibly dead. Maybe he's working. Maybe he had two shifts. Doesn't matter. They're there. So, but the crowd is so large that they cannot get to him. And so in this exchange, Luke is going to capture for us how Jesus' parable that he just told, and then this situation with Jesus' mother and brothers are actually linked together. And Jesus now uses this as this ultimate, like, teaching moment to drive home his point, right? It's about how badly Jesus desires the lost to come to him. How much he loves every single person. So think about the parable. Think about the parable, about the different roles again, because Jesus is going to allude to them here. Jesus is the light inside of the home. The home is a representation of the collective church body of believers. Person outside is the sinner lost in darkness. And then finally, the person with the lamp is the disciple. And it is their role to help the lost find their way in. So in 19, it says, and his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. So there's something that's preventing Jesus' mom and brothers from getting to him, an obstacle, this crowd, it could be many things. And if you're looking for a nice illustration, here it is. Because the obstacle that keeps us from getting to Jesus is what? Sin in our lives. And it doesn't mean that, his mother and his brothers were excluded from that. They have to recognize that themselves. So, this is cool. Where are his mother and brothers? 20. It was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. They're outside of where Jesus is. You got that? Does it sound a little bit like the parable that Jesus just shared with us? But look, they're outside, yeah, but they want to do what? They want to come in. They want to come in. They want to see Jesus. They want to be with him. They want to enter the home. Do you see what's going on here? It gets confusing, but you got to hang with it. So Jesus takes the parable that he just told, and then coincidentally, this event happens right afterwards, and he takes the two and he uses it for a beautiful moment, right? Do you think Jesus like saw this coming? Absolutely. Absolutely he did. And he says, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and they do it. Okay, so when you read that, you might think, man, that's harsh. Is he like ignoring his mom and his brothers? Is he like just being rude? Is this one of those things where he's like, I'm preaching, don't bug me. You do my thing. It's not the case, right? Jesus is capitalizing on this moment to teach, right? So stick with me. Stick with me. A home. A home. This is where the parable takes place, right? The idea, the concept of a home is that put there to give you a good feeling or a bad feeling? Good feeling, right? It's used to create a good feeling, good memories, a home, right? Where we cultivate and we experience our closest relationships, right? The most loving relationships with people whom we are closest to on this planet. In this case, we see Jesus's mom and his brothers as those people who are the closest people that he has. And they are the ones who are here, closest on a human plane, all right? Let's get that straight. And they're outside and they want to come in. And Jesus wants us to hear this. He wants us to understand that he loves us so much, that God loves us so much. And he's saying, if you hear my words and you want to come in to this home, remember, home, is a way of saying church, the family, the collective church family. If you want to be part of this family, then I consider you to be so close to me, so dear to me, that my relationship with you is just like the most loving relationship that you can experience on this planet. That it's just like the closeness of a mother and a brother. That's how much I love you. And so by Jesus's mother and brothers standing outside, it shows us that those on the outside, the darkness, they're welcome to come in, and that Jesus already sees them as he sees his closest family members, as his most dearly loved ones. And there's Jesus. They're just like shining, waiting for them to enter. If they choose to enter, then he is going to fill them with his love and with his truth. And not only that, but he's going to continue to pour himself into them as long as they make themselves available to be poured into. That's the reality of when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you just like the closest relationships we can have. So he's not dismissing his mother and brothers. He's simply saying that to come in to the home, to come into a relationship with him, to experience who he is to experience this level of true relationship that can only be compared with those kind of relationships. And he's tied the parable into that reality so beautifully. And that's the miracle of coming in from the dark, right? That's that amazing change of being lost and then being found and experiencing a gift that's worth more than the 20 million, the 25 million that I offered you earlier. It's about the response. And then it's about taking that light and placing it in the center of the room. So, let's just talk practical. How do you do that? How do you even do that? And I want to get into it without getting too prescriptive, because the moment I start telling you how to handle God is the moment that I do a great injustice to how vast and how unpredictable He is. So let's look at this, because many of us find it really uncomfortable sharing our faith. And that's what this parable is all about. But I think the problem is we tend to overcomplicate it, and we expect too much of ourselves, and we expect too much of the people that we're talking to, because like we're afraid that I won't know what to say, or I'll sound stupid. Or the opposite end of the spectrum is, you know, how come they didn't convert right there? They should have been radically saved when I told them that. And so then you're like, man, this is a lost world. This is terrible. Nobody wants to hear it. It's expecting too much, right? So here's what living out this parable is not. It's not about walking around with a tally sheet of how many people I just helped convert to Christianity. Like I led 30 people. How many did you lead? I'm doing pretty good. The person in the story that we looked at, they're not like running around with this light, and they're not grabbing people and forcing them to come into the house. Come on, get over here. Or chasing them down like some tourist trap, t-shirt shop worker desperate for a sale, right? That's not what's happening here. It's about looking closely at where God has placed us and then being faithful to take the light of Jesus and place it where people can see it. It's about paying attention to the subtleties, to where the Holy Spirit is leading you, and then being faithful to speak up when He does lead you. Because the more that you pay attention, the quieter you are, and you hear it, and the more that you step forward and speak when He tells you to, the more you're going to be led to do it. He continues to pour into you. It's about seeing an inconvenience as an opportunity, right? It's about taking what looks like is a failure in your life or someone else's life and seeing how there actually can be victory that comes from that. There's beauty from the ashes. It's about not hiding or covering up our faith, but letting it shine through so that others can light their candle to it, right? By seeing people as not the enemy, but as those who are lost, and they need a way to get back home. And what it becomes is like what John Stott called a point of contact. Taking the time to just stop and look into a person's life. Finding something that you can relate to in that life and making that connection, that point of contact. And maybe it's something that you used to relate to years ago, but you can still identify. There's still that point of contact. It's not about winning people to Christ, but it's about showing people Christ, to show them the light, so that they'll start asking those questions as the Holy Spirit's working in their lives. So another way to think about it is like, how welcoming are we making the house? Remember the parable? Are we like closing those curtains? You know? Are we making it welcoming? Is it a refuge? Do people see it as a refuge? Is it a breath of fresh air? Or does it look like some, you know, dingy house that nobody wants to enter into with the little old lady up in the attic just, yeah, right? I mean, so It's simple things. It's really simple things, because you'll be amazed how the simplest things can lead into just the most amazing discussions. It's crazy. And it's just being faithful for those simple things. So it's like, okay, when's the last time that I just encouraged a total stranger? Like, somebody was doing a good job and I just said, hey, you know what? You're doing an awesome job. Well, you're doing great. Keep up the good work. Things like that, as simple as that sounds, it's a point of contact and people open up. Like, so many people are walking around looking like they're unapproachable. And the second you make that point of contact, they open right up. And this conversation takes on a life of its own, and inevitably, something's going to get brought up. I guarantee you. The dialogue is opened because you don't have some agenda. Like, I'm going to go and I'm gonna have 5 converts today. And then when I didn't do it, I'm going to do 10 tomorrow. And no, you just, like, you let the Spirit lead you. You know, maybe it's like you go out to dinner and you just bless the waitress with, like, some stupid, ridiculous tip. Because you know what? She was listening to your conversation. She heard the name Jesus come out of your mouth. And then when you just blessed her, she's going to look at that and she's going to put that together and she's going to say, man, that light looks a little bit more inviting right now. There's something there. And that's it. That's all you had to do. It's not about, like, I got to get my theology straight and I have to have my debate formulated for evolution and creation and I have all the evidence for old earth versus a young earth. And then I can go out. And I'll rule the world with that and I'll prove them all. Do you know how many times in debates, Christian debates, did anyone see, like, who was it? Bill Nye and Ken Ham debate, right? At the end, Bill Nye didn't, like, say, okay, I give my life to Jesus Christ. No. This whole argument thing, and there's tons of these. There's Christopher Hitchens. There's all these great, amazing debaters that are so smart, but yet, even if they lose the debate, and it's clear that they lost, they still aren't going to give their lives to Christ, because that's not the point. The point is getting in deep, getting in on a human level, and being faithful to not just go for, like, the win and go for, like, the haymaker every time, but just to be faithful for where you are. And if you're not sure what to say to somebody and you're just, you know, don't know how to explain it, then you know what you say? You say, I'm not totally sure, but why don't you come to church? You know, point them in the direction that they could go. Why don't you just check it out? You might like it, you might not. Because it's all about pointing to Jesus. And maybe this time around, you're just called to work the soil a little bit. You know, or maybe this time around, you're just called to plant the seed, and that's it. Maybe you get to water it. You get to see it grow. Maybe you get to be part of the harvest. But the point is that every step is equally important. And remember, when we're sharing Jesus with someone, all we are doing is entering into a conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having in their life. That's it. It's not all on you. You have a little bit. We don't even care. Just be faithful, right? So don't get freaked out. Don't worry about what to say. Be faithful. God handles the rest. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. So to finish, with those 2 options that you guys started with and you passed. You passed. Most of you chose 5 million less so that you could bless your family members and you could spread it and you could just have a great time. But I don't have the money to give you guys. I'm sorry. So as Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Right? Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus, you are our treasure. Oh, Lord God, you are our light. Help us to be faithful to your call. Help us to see others as you see them, Lord God. Give us a boldness. Give us a direction. Lord God, I pray that our home is inviting. I pray that this church is inviting. Help us to be good caretakers of it. Help us to be a just faithful part of your church here on the earth. May you be the center of everything that we do. And in your name we pray. Amen.